was like, yo, Bill, that's a cool sign right there.
Thanks,
and
man.
You were just...
I didn't know.
I didn't know. Just big chilling.
I didn't hear a goddamn thing, man.
Fucking we are professionals. Welcome back to A Little Bit of Nerd, your recreation destination for all things nerdy. I'm your host, Jalen Holston, and with me, as always, is a man that some have deemed Kurt Cobill, the one, the only, Mr. Stephen Bilkey. How are you doing today, sir?
Just peachy. Just peachy.
So peachy, so fine, so fresh. Would you believe it?
Would you believe it?
And joining him is our other co-founder of the podcast, the daddy with all the drip, Mr. Kenny Johnson, a.k.a. I Love KTP. How are you doing today, sir?
Watch this. Doing great.
Like Usher.
Doing great.
He's moving. He does look like Usher. You'd be on that R&B show where they just... Gotta get both hands and you bring
a little
it
Marion, little ice box.
I got this ice box where my heart is.
Those moves were sick though. Let's be real, back then.
They absolutely were.
Marion had the moves, no cap.
Yeah, for real.
You got served, proved that.
Well, on today's show, we are venturing into the land of fantasy and magic, gentlemen. The first three items on the docket have to do with that kind of realm. That's right, we've got lions, tigers, bears. Oh, my. And then we're going to assemble our dream X-Men casting, a little topic that we've stolen from our good friends over at the Poi and Soy podcast. But that's what we got. So let's get right on into it. First of all, Game of Thrones, House of the Dragon. Boys, we all watched Game of Thrones, did we not?
Yes. From the beginning.
Yes, we did.
Absolutely delicious show. Now, some would argue that season 8 wasn't as great as it could have been. I know Bill has several different opinions as an apologist for season 8. But
I'm fine with it.
We're just going to leave it there.
Yeah, I'm fine with it.
We're just going to leave it there. Boys, what'd you think of the trailer? Kenny, I'm going to throw it to you. Did you like the trailer? And then give us some, like, speculation, some things you saw, what we could get out of the House of the Dragon.
To be honest, so, like, I loved the trailer, but I don't have much speculation because I feel like it derives a lot from the prequel book or prologue?
Prologue, whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't really know too much about that. So I just kind of took it for face value. I thought it was a cool trailer. Again, I don't have much speculation, but I think it's going to be a dope show. So
hell yeah.
That's my speculation.
Well, we don't have to wait like 5 seasons for dragons. We're just getting them right now. We're getting them off the
right.
bat. You know what I mean?
That is.
But Mr. Bilkey.
Yeah, I'm hyped about the dragons from the jump, man. Give me some fucking carnage.
Yes.
From what I understand, this prequel show is supposed to be about the Targaryens coming into power, correct?
Yeah, it's like right on that cusp.
So this is before Robert's Rebellion, right? All of that shit with the Mad King.
Right.
Yeah, Mad King, the Mad Queen, all that good shit.
All I want is for them to have the big points that they touched on in Game of Thrones to just be brought into huge detail with this prequel. They talked about how crazy Robert's Rebellion was, and they talked about how the Mad King was this fucking psychopath who eventually became unhinged. I want to see him in a cool state of mind, and then I just want a lot of details on how he slowly loses his brain. And I'll be totally happy. I just want them to fill in the holes that I had as a Game of Thrones viewer whenever they would speak on it, because it was so cool and it was almost like taboo to talk about for a while. And I just want to see why. So I'm not gonna get my hopes up too high for it or anything, but that's all I'm really looking for. Just give me some nice little details about why he lost his shit and why the Targaryens lost all their dragons, and I will be totally cool.
Absolutely. I'm right there with you, Bill. And just for me as a personal fan thing that I would like to see, I don't know if the timeline is quite correct, but if we could get some kind of like Jon Snow lineage hint somewhere in the in the House of the Dragon show.
That'd be oh, cool. Yeah. That would be,
you know, I mean, just a little,
cool, yeah,
little sprinkle. We don't have to do a full, like, you know, B story plot around it because we had Game of Thrones for that, right?
Right.
But just a little, little nibble. Give us something to, like you said, as a Game of Thrones watchers, to be like, oh my God, they're doing the thing.
Right. Then, I want that moment of, oh shit, they talked about that in season four. Now I'm really seeing it. Love it.
Yes.
That's exactly
yes.
what I want.
That kind of stuff. Right on, boys. Well, let's move it on down the list here. The Lord of the Rings prequel trailer. Also, these are, we know these are a little old, okay? But we wanted a different kind of subject matter for this episode, all right? So calm it down, okay? We might be a week late, but we're going to give you some love on these fantasy shows because they are also in the void of nerddom, okay? But anyway, Lord of the Rings prequel trailer came out. I personally enjoyed it. I had a great time. I can't wait to see what the hell is going to go on. I think the setting of this looked like it was pre everything in like Hobbit and Lord of the Rings. So pre Sargon or whatever, and all that good stuff. But Bilky, I'm going to swing it right back to you. What did you think of the new Lord of the Rings prequel show trailer?
Excited, dude. Anything Lord of the Rings is going to tickle my fancy. I fucking love the entire universe. Yes. It looks like there was a bunch of elves.
Yes, we did see some elves for sure.
I mean, if I'm ever playing like a fantasy game or like, do you remember that Lord of the Rings game when we were kids? On like the PS2 or like the 360 or whatever. I would love, I just like destroyed my whole thought train. Regardless, I always pick an elf character. I've always just, I don't know, had some sort of love for them. Or like if I could be a fantasy character, I would be an elf. And that's all I saw in this trailer. It does look a little strange, like they're doing too much. And what I mean by that is it looks like their armor is like super weird, detailed nanotech type shit. And all like all Peter Jackson ever did was put a bunch of chainmail together, right? And I liked that aspect of it. I just don't want them to... I don't want too many details. I don't want them to overanalyze the show because the whole universe has already been created. Everyone knows what to expect from it, and I don't want them to start adding new shit. I don't know if that makes me an ageist or like an old head or something, but I don't want them to fuck up the universe. That's all I'm really worried about.
Oh, okay, Boomer. Exactly. But anyway, Kenny, what did you... No, I see what you're saying there for sure. Kenny, what did you think of the Lord of the Rings prequel show trailer?
You want me to be 100% transparent here?
It is your world, Kenny. We are living in it.
I feel like I've shared this with you guys before, but I have never watched Lord of the Rings because I just cannot sit through it. I don't know why. I've tried so many times, but I cannot get into it for whatever reason. The video games were dope. Shadow of Mordor, Shadow of War was all dope, but I cannot watch the movies for whatever reason. Like, I'll be watching it and then like I blink and it's over and I'm like,
that is
what happened? Every single time I watch it. So I just gave up on trying to watch it. So to be honest, I did not even watch the prequel trailer because I'm like, it doesn't even make sense to me. It's like trying to watch like episode 600 of One Piece and like have an opinion about the entire show.
Blows my mind. I don't know how you can't watch it.
We are going to strap you to a chair and duct tape your eyes open and force you to consume this amazing content. You mark my words, Kenneth.
See, we'll see.
You mark my words.
I think you'd really enjoy it if you made it through it.
He really would.
I'm pretty sure I would, but I just can't. Like, I'll be watching it and then I lose interest or I'll fall asleep.
I'm about to get you some Adderall and just beat you down.
Right.
Watch this, damn it.
Oh, man. I can't wait. I'm always down for more Lord of the Rings, kind of like Bilky. I'm interested to see, like, what really they're going to dive into since it is so early on before all those crazy events. And then we kind of see, like, the pillars that get set up for the world that we got introduced to all those years ago. So I'm interested to see where the starting point is for the show and kind of like what universe they're going to create within their own show's continuity to expand on the stuff that we've already seen. So looking forward to it 100% for sure. But moving right on down the list here, this is a trailer that we all did see. And I have a episode one Sandman review. Did any of you watch it by chance on offhand before I dive in super hardcore? Okay. Great. Awesome.
I think we talked about that on the last pod. We were like, yeah, I don't know. We'll leave that one to Jalen.
Yeah. I'm going to tell you right now, you guys are going to eat your shoe if you ever try the show. It is easily the best thing that they have created since Stranger Things.
What?
Or at least adapted since Stranger Things. Yep. Yep.
That is a red
the trailer is the trailer. The trailer is the trailer. But the facts of the matter is, if you get into the show and get in through some episodes, I will probably guarantee you you're going to binge the rest of it all the way to episode 10. But episode
that is
one.
Wild.
But episode one, it's a lot of world building, and it for the initial like start of it, I felt that kind of like worry that I had that it's just going to be a long drug out show. But like as the story progresses and as you get more into like the Neil Gaiman world of the Sandman and the more lore that you get from this first episode, by the end of it, you're ready for episode two, and then it just kind of keeps building from there. So definitely power through those first 5 minutes. I think if you get through the first 5 minutes of episode one, you're Neil, like the way that the story is crafted, the way the narrative goes, you're going to be interested. It's a really intriguing world visually to look at as well. So yeah, if you haven't started Sandman, definitely give it a shot. Hard watch, hard see it. Like I said, it is the best adaptation, the best thing to hit Netflix since Stranger Things for a reason.
That's amazing. So, I didn't realize.
Yeah, that's a hot take.
What's I can't even think of his last name right now. But the old head from Game of Thrones. I didn't realize he was in it. The head of the
Lannisters. He's in there. Gwendolyn Christie is also
is she
in it.
Really?
Yes.
Oh,
yes, Gwendolyn Christie is in it. She plays Satan himself, Lucifer Morningstar. So
okay, I might give it a shot.
I just think it's funny that you like Toted is such a good show because one of my English teachers from high school, like, she's a big show reviewer, and she said, "I'm on episode two of The Sandman, and I think I'm about to start journaling about survival." And she's like, "I can't sit through this anymore."
Damn, that's a polar opposite.
Like, oh God, is it that bad?
It's a slow burn,
that's
man.
That's what I'm saying. That's why when he said that, I'm like, all right.
It's not a show that's like, if you're like an ADHD head and you just want like that crazy binge fantasy entertainment, that like this is not the show. Like the show is crafted beautifully, and if you're willing to actually like get into what has been crafted, it's easily the most amazing show ever. But if you want just a sit down popcorn fantasy show, don't watch Sandman. Don't do it. Because you're going to go in thinking from the trailer that there's going to be visual effects out the ass the whole time you're watching it. And it's not. Like, they pick their spots for these set pieces, and they're there for a reason.
Is it a lot of dialogue?
So definitely, yeah, a lot of dialogue. It feels very Game of Thrones-y, especially when you get into episodes 4 and 5 and you start dealing with heaven and hell and some of the alternate realms, as they call it, like with desire and lust and all this kind of stuff, and death.
Okay, so that's going to be like some Steins Gate vibes. I don't know if you guys have ever watched Steins Gate, but it's a fantastic anime, but you aren't going to get any action like you were talking about. A lot of it is just story development, dialogue, and you have to buy into it because by the end of it, it's one of the greatest shows I've ever watched.
It is. And the way it's, again, visually, the way it's shot, it like you nailed it on the head with the Pan's Labyrinth movie from the mid-90s. It has a lot of those kind of stylistic qualities with like the kind of the foggy camera lens stuff where there's bright light.
Okay,
and like
I
don't know, it feels very like time capsuled in its, you know, development, how it's shot and directed, but I enjoyed the hell out of it.
Okay, I'll give it a shot,
but yeah, so that's
I'll open my mind to it.
Yes I've got one. That's all I need. Yes, that's all I need. I've succeeded. Give it a go.
We'll give it one.
Definitely give it the 3-episode try and you'll probably be all right. But yeah, so on to the big ticket item. I know we were all excited to do this. As mentioned before, our good friends over at Poi and Soy kind of gave us the idea to do this on our show as well. And you can catch that episode this Friday from what I hear from the lads. We are going to assemble our dream X-Men rosters for the Disney Fox merger, which happened, you know, a while ago. But we all know now that X-Men are confirmed. They're coming to the MCU. Like, we are going to go down what X-Men we want in the universe to start, and then who we think would be good at playing the X-Men that acts in Hollywood and stuff. Okay. Out the gate, let's just kind of go over the two big ones, right? Let's go over our Professor X's and are Magnetos. Okay, so Kenny, I'm gonna start with you. Who are your Professor X and Magneto for the new MCU universe?
Now, I saw yours when we talked about this earlier, but my Professor X would be Giancarlo Esposito.
Nice.
Because I would like him as Magneto because he's such a good villain in everything he does.
Yes.
But I want to see him be the good guy for once.
Okay.
So that's why I see Professor X being Giancarlo Esposito.
Excellent.
And then Magneto. Now, Magneto, I want to be like... I want it to be, I know it's probably not possible, but if it could be possible, dream-wise, I would have Idris Elba be Magneto.
Oh, that'd be a great fucking Magneto.
That's what I'm saying, but he's already in the MCU, so it's like,
oh. That'd be insane.
I would support that.
But that's my dream X-Men roster for those two picks so far.
Exactly. This is just a fun, you get unlimited budget, we got Disney money, we got everything, so it don't matter. Yeah. Kevin Feige will make it work for you. All right, Bill, hit us with your Professor X and your Magneto picks, man.
All right. My Professor X is Lance Reddick.
Oh, interesting choice.
Yes, I think he would pull off a perfect Professor X. He's like...
Lance Reddick.
I don't know what it is. I think he'd be perfect for it. And then for Magneto, I have Mads Mikkelsen.
Mads Mikkelsen.
Already shown that he can play a villain, and I think if they gave him a better script, he would knock it out of the park. I think he would totally fit the role, and I think
I totally agree.
I don't know if he's a method actor, but I could really see him buying into it and giving like the best he has.
I totally get you on that one, for sure. As Kenny mentioned, my Magneto is Giancarlo Esposito. Again, he does it so fucking well.
He's so good. Yeah. You know what I mean? He's so evil.
He's so good, man. He's so fucking
like his
good.
Moff Gideon was so good.
Bro,
the whole time, bro. Oh my God.
I was like, I kind of want to work for him.
Right.
I want to work for Moff Gideon.
It's not sounding so bad right now.
It's really not when you think about it, you know, like the rebels are just kind of assholes for not letting us rule the entire galaxy.
It looks
know?
Like they have better facilities. I bet their benefits are way better. Like,
surely they have dental. Yeah, dude, you know what I mean? They surely have.
You hook up with the Empire. It's a career. You know, you don't have to. There's no threat of job security with the Empire outside of, you know, getting killed by the rebels, but.
Exactly.
Oh, I do want to add to my Giancarlo Esposito take being Professor X is that he also publicly announced that he would like to play Professor X.
Yes, he is heavily rumored.
So that is also playing awesome. So he actually wants to do it.
Yeah. Yes.
Like he's like, if it's on the table, like I'm taking it.
Yeah. So my Professor X, I could have done a white actor, but I just felt in my heart if we're gonna duo up they kind of feel like a pair to me, Magneto and Professor X for some reason, so I just kind of kept it all the same. But I went with Mr. Denzel Washington. I think that would be a very interesting performance for him to undertake as Professor X in this new kind of Marvel regime here.
I like that idea. I don't think it would be super easy for him, but I do think he would love the challenge.
Yeah. You know, because it's definitely like there's only been like X ways that the character has been portrayed and shown and dialogued. So it'd be interesting to see that in a different lens from Denzel's perspective. And I want to see how he would kind of interpret that character. So
I love it.
Yeah. Yeah. So now what we will do, we will go through the rest of our rosters kind of one at a time, go over like which X-Men you're putting in your movie. And then obviously who's playing them. We can go like one by one all the way down our list, and then we'll kind of circle back around and point out like which one we found the most interesting out of everyone's lists. So Kenny, go ahead and give us the rest of your X-Men list that you have so far. Like which X-Men are you bringing in, who's playing them, etc.
So these are going to be kind of crazy because I'm going to be mixing universes kind of.
Yeah.
But if I were to have a Cyclops, I would pull in Tobey Maguire.
Ooh. It's old. Oh my God.
I'm loving this episode so much already.
This is great. Tobey Maguire, so, yeah, Cyclops.
My Cyclops would be Tobey Maguire.
I think that's okay. Fantastic.
And then my Rogue would be probably Scarlett Johansson.
Okay. Interesting. Yeah.
I mean, no. My bad. My Jean Grey would be Scarlett Johansson.
Ooh. Okay. Big role.
My rogue would be, I don't think I have one for that one, but I have one for Nightcrawler. I want Nightcrawler. I know this is where I'm getting into the mixing universes. Nightcrawler, I want to be Andrew Garfield.
He would play so that dope.
Role. I think you're so right.
He really would.
That idea.
He would kill it.
I could see him being a good Gambit, then, too.
Oh, my
yeah,
God.
Yeah, yeah. I saw your take, Jay, for Mystique.
Yeah.
Being Ana de Armas, and I was like, perfect. Oh my God.
I had the same reaction. I loved it when I read it.
What a woman.
And then Wolverine. I didn't know exactly how I wanted to go with Wolverine because I want him to still be like gritty, but I also want him to be like badass and strong as hell. So, like, what's his name? I just lost his name. He did the Punisher.
Oh, I knew you were going to say that.
That would be a great Wolverine. Yeah, that'd be a great Wolverine. I could definitely
see that.
He would
be my Wolverine.
he would pull that off so well.
I would be scared watching him.
And then
I think he would put fear into me as a viewer.
And then I think my Storm would have to be Zoe Saldana.
Gamora. I like that, actually.
But
like
again,
that a lot.
That's a re-rock in the MCU.
No matter. Yeah, this is your world.
It's just a dream. It's a dream lineup. That's who I've got.
I love it, dude.
Yes. Excellent. That is an excellent lineup, Kenneth. I absolutely adore your pick for Nightcrawler. I think Andrew Garfield
Nightcrawler.
He would crush it. All right, Mr. Bill, I have scrolled a little bit past your warning to see your pick for Magneto and whatnot, but continue on with your list of actors and X-Men. I know.
Okay, so I didn't really craft a whole universe. These are just random characters I'd like to see in the MCU X-Men and who I think would play them well.
Perfect.
So
perfect. You understood the assignment.
I want Iceman, and I want him to be played by Ansel Elgort. However you say his name, Ansel Elgort, whatever.
Oh, that'd be great. Baby Driver.
Yes, I want Baby Driver to be my Iceman.
Yes.
I think he would nail it 100%.
Nice.
He would crush it. He has a great look for it, too, I think. Kind of reminiscent of the original trilogy.
Yeah, and he gives me, I don't know, I like whenever, you know how Tony Stark and Robert Downey Jr. look similar? I think Ansel and Iceman could kind of get that same vibe where he looks like how I saw him as a kid in the books.
Yes, absolutely.
I like when that happens. I don't think it's necessary. I just enjoy it.
Right. A little icing on top, if you will.
I liked in Apocalypse, X-Men Apocalypse, whenever they had Angel in there. And so I want Angel in a new one, and I want Travis Fimmel to play him, the lead actor from Vikings.
Okay. Oh, that's a great pick.
Yeah.
He does look like an angel, doesn't he?
I don't know. Angel seems like a fucked up character, and it's in his brain. And I think that dude would pull that off super well. Now here's a weird one. For my Gambit, I picked Haley Joel Osment.
Oh, a bit of a gender swap
that's
for the Gambit. Okay, I like
it. No, Haley Joel Osment's
what is she most known for?
Yeah, that's he's a. What was he just in that was really big?
Yeah,
he was
in
the Boys.
He's the kid from Sixth Sense, Jalen.
Oh,
yeah,
that guy.
I see
dead
people.
God. My bad. I didn't know that was his actual name.
Yeah, Haley Joel Osment.
He's related to an old girl that was on Hannah Montana.
Oh, wait, really?
That's what's up.
Dude, you're going to love this then. Speaking of Disney Channel kid stars, I want magic in the universe. And I want magic to be played by Brenda Song.
That would be fantastic.
Ooh.
Brenda Song would do some work with that.
I got some weird picks, dude.
I like it a lot.
Oh, I forgot my Gambit.
I want to know what's like my favorite X-Men.
All yours. Ryan Reynolds.
Okay, delicious.
Like that. That's yeah. why I had Andrew Garfield. Andrew Garfield be Nightcrawler and Gambit would be like Ryan Reynolds. Dude. That would be lit. Dude,
please do Gambit justice, please. That's all I ask. Yes. Here's okay. So this pick I think is spot on, and no one can change my mind. For Nightcrawler, I want Robert Sheehan.
Oh no, you're right on. If you put blue makeup on that guy, some pointy ears, and he looks bam. Young enough, abso-fucking.
I think he's the perfect
bam,
one.
Done.
Oh. Do you know who Robert Sheehan is?
Dead deal.
Yeah, I'm looking yep. at him right now. He was in the Umbrella mm-hmm. Academy.
I think it'd be mm-hmm. perfect. My Cyclops would be Miles Teller.
Fantastic
Thank
choice.
You.
Was Mr. Fantastic at one point.
It's fine. You're scrapping that.
It's fine. Yeah, doesn't exist. What movie, huh?
Exactly. I removed that from my memory. And then I got my last one was Zoe Kravitz for Storm.
Mm. You can't go wrong with her in like anything.
You cannot go mm. wrong with her.
Zoe Kravitz as a paper bag, I'd go pay money to watch. It's fine.
Dude,
it's,
she could sit there and have a conversation I mean? With a paper bag and I'd pay for it.
Right. Probably be riveting in all the delicious ways you could think
yeah,
of.
Yeah, that's all the picks I had.
Yes.
That's all I got.
Delicious. Well done, boys. Well
what do you got,
done.
Dick?
All right. Here we go. All right. So I'm going to start off hot. One of our favorite actors on this podcast is going to be my Cyclops, and Mr. Decker Montgomery from Stranger Things and Power Rangers, the very movie that started this whole podcast. Yes, we are going back in time. And to pair him, I will also give the Jean Grey role to another Power Ranger star, Naomi Scott. I think their chemistry in the Power Rangers movie was not the issue at all. And they're both great actors. They're young enough to do fucking 30 movies, who knows? And I'd really like to see that dynamic played by those two. Margaret Qualley would be my Rogue. She was the lead actress in Maid. I don't know if any of you caught that show.
No, I have to look her up.
But she is... Yeah, look her up real quick. Mainly because Rogue as a character has to deal with a lot of very dark elements, but she's eventually, once she gets confident in being a mutant, she kind of turns into the more... sassy and fun Rogue that we know from the comics. So I think that's kind of the angle I'm going
like
for here.
Pick.
So I wanted a good dramatic actress for that, for sure.
She was in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
She was also in that as well. Yes. And then obviously, Kenny mentioned it earlier, Mystique, gotta be a little sexy. So why not get Ana de Armas?
Woo!
Lord have mercy. You know what I mean? She's got that look, and I know she can act her butt off. She can do stunts. Obviously, being in James Bond and the Gray Man with Ryan Gosling.
Yeah, she's in Blade Runner as well.
Definitely got to have that there. She's also in Blade Runner, yes. So she's definitely in the sci-fi realm mm-hmm. already, so I don't think this would be too outside the box to cast her as Mystique.
That's my favorite.
Jamie Campbell from Stranger Things. Definitely my Nightcrawler. That dude, I feel like, I want to see him try to interpret that character so bad. He's such a phenomenal, talented actor.
Oh, that's who Jamie Campbell. Yeah. Yeah, I like that pick. That's a good pick.
You know what I mean? Like, I think you give that guy just a little bit of time to kind of craft how he would move and do the little Nightcrawler stuff. He would.
Holy shit, dude. That's a really good pick. Now that I'm seeing that's who that is, because I didn't recognize the name at
right.
first, and I'm like, damn, yeah, he would pull off that weird aspect super well.
Oh, absolutely. And then moving down the list, this will be my most controversial pick, okay? Here's the deal. Hugh Jackman is Logan. That's the end of the story. I never want to see another version of Wolverine that is Logan, but we do need a Wolverine in the MCU. So what you can do is cast a younger actor in Zac Efron, very in shape young man, kind of getting grizzly in his older ages. He's like 32, 31, kind of in there somewhere. And you cast him to play James Hudson, which is a bastard son of Wolverine with the same adamantium skeleton without the horrific bodily surgical maneuvers that Wolverine had to endure. So yeah, that's how you kind
that's
of
perfect
bridge the gap. Bridge the gap.
Yeah, yeah. Now that you break it down, because when I saw it on paper, I'm like,
hold on.
Oh no, not that one, bro. That's not it, bro. But now you got me on the same page.
Yes.
I see.
Pulling it a little from the X-Men Gold series that recently released. He's the Wolverine in that, so I think you can definitely adapt that for.
Would you call him Wolverine?
Yeah, he's still called Wolverine, just like X-23 gets called Wolverine in the thing. She's not X-23. Okay. Yeah. And then I just my heartstrings, I just feel like this would be a great casting as a small Phil love of my life. I think Tom Welling would be a fantastic Beast. The dude's like 6'6", big husk frame. So he looks like the Beast. Throw a pair of glasses on him, he'd be fine. I think you'd look great in the blue makeup as well if they wanted to do that. So had to throw that man on my list. Jordan Fisher from The Flash would be my Quicksilver. Again, similar role. And if we're doing Magneto's children, obviously I got to have to kind of get similar ethnicities there in those castings.
Well, that's a great pick.
And I also have Zoe Kravitz. Yes. See what I'm saying there? He's kind of got that young, ambitious.
Yeah, young,
and if
man.
You pull up any clips of him playing Bart Allen, he's fantastic too. Good quippy humor. Yeah. I also have Zoe Kravitz on my list. However, she is going to play a much more dramatic and dark role in being Polaris, the daughter of Magneto, since we don't need to address Scarlet Witch in the MCU. I think she would pull that off beautifully, especially being that Polaris literally gets her name from being a mutant born with electromagnetic manipulation, but also being bipolar. So I think she could pull that off really well. If we put her in there. And then some more Stranger Things love. I have Sadie Sink as Rachel Summers, which is the daughter of Jean Grey and Cyclops.
Yeah, perfect.
I don't know. I just want to see him in there. And then Millie Bobby Brown would be my Kitty Pryde. Perfectly young enough. She can age into the role as we do more movies. So yeah, that would be my fan cast.
Good picks in there, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
I like
those
a lot.
Thank you.
Damn,
thank you.
This was fun.
It's so fun. Because you start with like two and then you just keep going. You're like, actually, you know what? I think this person should get in here.
Wait,
maybe
this
X-Men will.
This. I feel like we could get stuck on this for a long time.
Oh, we absolutely could. But let us know what some of your guys' favorite fan casts were on the reviews or comment sections of the podcast. And hopefully maybe you agree, maybe you disagree. Who knows? Just let us know about your picks. But moving on down the list here, it's time for the shortest segment of the show, DC TV stuff, otherwise known as Bilky doesn't watch any of the shows. I've watched some of them. Superman and Lois is still good. And yeah, all the stuff. But there is actually some news today. Oh my God, would you believe it? The Flash is officially getting canceled after season 9 and will have an abbreviated season of 13 episodes. Boys, you didn't watch any of The Flash. I know. It's fine, but this is now it. I think this is the last. I mean, Superman and Lois technically isn't the Arrowverse, so this is the last Arrowverse show to go off the air, just in general, because let's be honest, no other network pulled off anything like the Arrowverse, where they had multiple superhero shows interconnected with each other, multiple crossovers every year. Like, about the era of this time, give your thoughts and speculations on just, like, what you recall from the epicness that was the Arrowverse in general. Kenny, I can throw it over to you. I know you kind of watched like two episodes of Arrow and then popped off like all that other stuff, but yeah. So your thoughts on the Arrowverse finally coming to a close with The Flash being canceled in season 9.
I mean, it's sad. Like I've definitely thought there was potential in the Arrowverse. I just think DC's like, roadmap just didn't go how they expected, plus the actors left and right were just in really shite situations, and
yeah,
just, you know, this is the big bang with Ezra Miller going out like this, so
yeah.
I mean, sad to see it go. I feel like it could have grown into something, but it was just one thing after another, every freaking show, every season, every something.
Yeah, multiple issues. I always was, I mean, Bilky did the show with me a ton. My biggest complaint was always that these were 22 episode seasons. You can't make good television for 22 straight episodes. You're going to have so many duds and so many filler episodes. But my hot take for season 9 is that's going to be the best season of The Flash since season 5 because only 13 episodes. So you really have to kind of lineate the story and get it going. But Bilky, what do you think about the closing of the Arrowverse as it stands with The Flash being canceled after 9 seasons?
I think it's all right. I think it's time. It feels like same. You had to be there kind of vibe for me. You know how, well, yeah. I know you know personally, but there was like a cult following for Smallville, right? You kind of had to be there whenever it was going down. And that was the first real take of superhero TV I can remember that was taken somewhat seriously. And I think the Arrowverse is, I think if we jump forward 15, 20 years, people are going to look back on it and be like, man, that was some great TV. I loved watching it every week. I enjoyed the hell out of it. Now, I watched Arrow. I watched, who's the one? Static Shock's dad. We watched that one together. Black Lightning with Jill Scott in it.
Not his dad, but yeah, that's who taught him how to use his, yeah.
He might as well have been a father figure for him. But, so like, I watched that one, and just like a couple episodes here and there of these other shows. And for the time being, like, I enjoyed what I watched. I wasn't going to commit to watching the whole thing, but I think it's good. I think it needs to come to an end. I think some of these actors have proved themselves and actresses that they can do this kind of stuff. And it almost feels like a minor league coming to a close. And then hopefully some of these guys and girls get pulled up to the big leagues and they get to, you know, really show what they can do given good material. But kind of piggybacking off what Kenny said, there's just so much negative shit in the media with half of their cast that I think like it's got to be so hard to go into work every day knowing you're not Ezra Miller, you know, or not whoever is going to be in the headlines that week for doing some dumbass shit.
Right.
I'm not upset about it canceling. I'm sure you're a little saddened, but
I'm right there with you. I think it's good. I think it was time. I would have liked to have seen Flash get that beautiful like season 10. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because then it's like that definitive, we made it 10 seasons kind of thing. But I do think the Arrowverse, it is time. I think it should have been kind of done and over once Arrow itself was done, since he was the Tony Stark of that whole TV universe. But yeah, and I think really what this opens up is just more opportunities for all those creators that made this, all these amazing shows, all those actors, like you mentioned, to go off and do bigger and better things. And in particular, another headline that came out that I didn't write it down, but Greg Berlanti, the guy behind the Arrowverse, is also in talks to kind of head up DC's movie division with the DCEU. So what do you guys think about them trying to bring that guy in as their pseudo Kevin Feige?
I like that idea. I like it a lot, actually, because you have someone who's put in a lot of time and effort over these past, I don't even know how many years it's been, but it feels like it's been quite a while. The dude's put in a lot of
work. At
least
10 years.
Yeah, man, he tried his best to build that, and I don't think he did a bad job with it. So it gives me like Zack Snyder vibes. Like, the dude wants to build a universe, and he wants to do a good job with it. And I think if they back him fully, they're going to be happy with what he puts out. I think it'd be brilliant to bring him on for the DC because they are in trouble. I just saw that. It's just there's so many random one-offs. Like, you have Ben Affleck coming back to play Batman again. And then you have Robert Pattinson's Batman, who the sequel hasn't even been greenlit yet. And it's crazy, right?
Which,
like,
is insane.
How do you, there's just so much chaos going on in the DC universe that I think they need someone who's going to be like an anchor. And he's going to come in there and be like, yo, this is how we're doing shit. I have it all mapped out. Just shut the fuck up and listen. And this is what, like, that's what they need. They need someone to come in there and, you know, Kevin Feige it. And if that dude's already got experience, why not bring him in? Let's do it. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Something's got to work, you know?
Yeah. Kenny, what do you think, bud?
That's just how I, like, at this point, not only is it a great option, it's pretty much their only option. Like, what else are you going to do if he doesn't do it? So, like Bill said, someone's got to take the helm and be like, yo, shut the fuck up. This is what we're going to do, and this is how we're going to do it. So, like, to your point about Batman not being greenlit yet, it kind of worries me because I would like it to be greenlit already. I don't know why it's not, but that just worries me in the sense that they don't plan on continuing with it, or at least not yet. Like, they don't have a vision for it. But I feel like it was so successful, like, they kind of got to jump on that. And I feel like that's got to be, like, the catalyst for this new universe.
And it was so good. Yeah.
Because I feel like, I mean, we're in young Batman. Like, there's so much you can take from young Batman and going and forward.
You could. I like that it's kind of like Joker. It's just a thing I get to look forward to. It doesn't have to connect to anything. I don't need another solo Ben Affleck Batman for sure, because then that would be
I don't think anyone wants that.
No, but no. I think putting Batfleck back in the universe for DCEU's like connected universe of like Justice League and like crossover stuff, I think that is a brilliant move on their part. But I am right there with both you guys. This is a fantastic option if it is the road that they go down. Another movie analyst that we sometimes get our news from, Mr. John Campia, had a very different opinion, said it would be a horrible idea because he wasn't making, you know, cinema quality shows on CW. To which my counter to that would be, well, of fucking course he can't. He had one arm tied behind his back. He did what he did with the Arrowverse with a CW budget, which is maybe like a fourth of what a film budget would be. So you're telling me if you give a guy that clearly knows how to A, build universes separately, bring them together in multiple crossovers, and C, have a line of where that thing's going to end up, especially with how kind of Arrow kind of went down, and now obviously the Flash is, you know, wrapping up, but he's heavily involved in wrapping up that season anyway. You're telling me you give that guy more resources, more money to hire better writers and better actors to come in and fill these roles that he couldn't do it for the DCEU? You're out of your fucking mind.
He also, he's on the CW. It's got to be like a PG-13 limit on everything. And the DC universe gets very dark.
Oh, yeah,
so imagine
sure.
what he could really do with no restraints.
Yeah, absolutely. That's where I'm at with it. So yeah, we'll see how all that ends up. But going right on down the list of stuff here, Batgirl, the movie, has been canceled. Like the whole movie is shot. It's done, but they're just not putting it out. No HBO Max, no theater, no nothing.
Strange.
Yeah, it's just weird, boys.
I just don't get it. I don't understand why. Like, maybe this is part of that big plan where they're maybe just trying to restart everything, and they're like, okay, there's literally no continuity here, and these are just all these solo movies. We need to try and get something clear-cut and concise. So maybe that's why, but it's just like, I mean, you shot the whole shit already. Just put it out somewhere. like, just go straight to HBO Max if you have to. Like,
allegedly, the test screenings were so bad that David Zaslav, the new head over at Warner Brothers, said, we're not releasing this movie because of what the test screening said. We're not going to reshoot anything to improve it. We're just going to take the L and not release.
There's 90 million down the drain.
Right down the drain. And they're probably going to lose some more figuring out what they're going to do with this Flash movie, which that's our last headline for DC. WB allegedly is down to three options with Mr. Miller, according to the Hollywood Reporter that released an article this past week. Apparently, the three options are Ezra commits to getting help, doing an interview, explaining his actions, as well as doing an apology, kind of press tour with limited press, release the film where Ezra does no press, or scrap the film entirely. That is a $250 million film that they will just instantly nuke, not on HBO Max, similar to Batgirl. Guys, which of these three options, A, is the most doable, B, do you think is actually going to happen? Kenny, I'll swing it to you first.
The one that is doable, I think, is that they could just release the film with no press from Ezra.
Yeah.
But I also think they should just entirely scrap it because he's pissed off so many communities that it's like,
bruh,
once it's out, they're just gonna shit on it, so it's almost no point.
It could be brilliant, but people are just gonna spam hate it anyway.
That's what I'm saying, like, because like I've been seeing a lot from the LGBTQ plus community that they're like, oh, he's misrepresenting us and whoop-de-doo, blah-de-da.
Yep.
And I'm like, it's only gonna get worse once you drop it because they gonna let you have it.
Yes, they will. Bill, what do you think, man? These three options. Which dude, one are you leaning towards being the most feasible?
Scrap the whole thing, dude. I am so tired of this. Like, think of the percentage. Like, I don't even, I'm just getting so flustered by it. Ezra Miller does not get a redemption arc. You get so many times where you can go be a celebrity who does some horrible shit that a regular civilian could do and get locked up instantly for it. Like, you're done. You lost your chances. I don't care. You've been caught terrorizing people. You've been caught beating women. The list just continues to go on. I don't give a shit about an apology. It's not like I'm an offended person. Nope. If he came out with an apology, it wouldn't change my feelings either way. What he did was wrong, and multiple times he's done wrong, and I don't think an apology would affect anyone who is actually a victim of any of his scenarios. Like, if he came out and was like, I'm so sorry about what I did, they're not gonna give a shit, man. It's just another, like, someone wrote the apology for him. He's gonna go out there and be an actor and give a performance during his apology and then not give a shit the second he steps away from the microphone. I think
exactly.
And I just think it's over.
Yeah, I'm leaning
fucking recast it. It sucks that the movie is finished and they spent so much money on it, but at the same time, you see him doing this over and over. Scrap the movie beforehand. Get rid of the scenes with him in it and recast someone else and deal with, you know, how hard it's going to be to rebuild chemistry and whatnot. But no, I would never pay money to go see an Ezra Miller Flash movie. I think that's a ludicrous idea.
I'd steal that one for sure.
Never have, never will.
And I don't even like Ezra Miller as the Flash in general. I think I made that take way back in the day.
I thought he was okay.
I didn't enjoy it at all. I thought he was super weak. I didn't like the humor. He just seemed like extra baggage for the rest of the team in those movies. Useless character. He just happens to be fast, and they're like, oh, well, I guess you can hang out with us. Just don't fuck anything up. And that's about it. So. Yeah.
Even the Snyderverse version of Ezra, it helped a little, but I never bought into the Ezra Miller as the Flash. I just didn't think it fit all in any capacity. Certainly the Joss Whedon didn't do him any favors. No. So going from that to the Snyderverse one, it was a little bit of an upgrade, but not really. I think just in general, their idea of how to interpret that character for that universe was not quite on the mark as far as Zack Snyder goes.
He seems like a wimpy, just a guy in the chair kind of guy.
Flash.
You know, he doesn't.
Yeah, and that's not really
a superhero look to him. He needs to be the techie nerd, right? If anything.
Agreed.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. He was just a little too zesty for me, bro. He was just like, I don't know. He didn't bring the energy I expected from
him. He's like Barry Allen.
I watched the Justice League so much growing up. I expected a lot more out of him. And he was just like, oh, yeah, well, you guys need help? I'll do this. I'm like, no, he needs to be like, motherfucker, I'm finna go run over here, do this shit, and I'm gonna do it again. You wanna watch? Like, that's what I need in the Flash.
Agreed. Agreed. Here's where I'm at. I think realistically, with it being a studio, I don't think any of these options are going to happen. I think realistically what they should do is just fucking get the movie out as soon as possible and move the fuck on. Like, get the movie out. You're going to take the hit. You'll make some money because people still will go see it regardless. And I think you need to do it not only because of what you've invested into it, but there's also more than Ezra Miller that was a part of this film, from crew, from producers to costume, makeup, VFX artists. Like, there's so many people involved that I feel like scrapping the project and not properly paying out those people that worked so hard on this film would be massively disrespectful just to do it because one guy's a fucking crackhead. And I think when you do that, you also help out the other actors, because there are several actors in this movie that's like, this was their big kind of movie. Like, this is the biggest role they've ever had, and so now because one guy who's the lead actor is fucking it up, I don't feel like it would be fair to not give those actors at least their due in having a theatrical release for the movie. But I agree, no press, no nothing. Don't invest anything into marketing. Literally, as soon as the movie's done, you fucking release it and get it done. You just get the fuck out and get on with this project. Never have to work with Ezra Miller again.
Just like send it straight to DVD, like back in the days, and then just
swear to God. Yeah, like
straight to Hulu or something, bro.
Straight to Hulu, man. Oh, but moving on from there, let's get into some video game news. There's some fun stuff happening. We got two reviews for you, and then we also have a couple of interesting items that have come up this week. But first on the docket, all of us play some League of Legends, and one champion has been forgotten for so long for a rework, but it is finally here. The John Deere, Udyr himself, has gotten his rework visually, mechanically, coding, everything, and it's supposed to come out, I think, next patch, maybe next week or the week after.
Very soon.
So what are your guys' thoughts on this rework from Riot Games? Like, my thing is always, if they rework a champion, as long as it still feels like the original champion, they've done a great job. Pantheon would be my first example. Like, at the end of the day, he still feels like Pantheon. He's not going to do anything crazy, but he has a little bit of a visual upgrade, and he feels like he fits into a modern League of Legends video game. So, Bilky, I'm going to throw it to you. This is your boy, the deer.
I think it's great.
The man, the myth, the legend.
See, there's always a thing when you have a game that's constantly evolving, right? There's always going to be new metas. There's always going to be new champs coming into it. And the issue that I think Riot Games runs into a lot of the times is taking these day one champs and trying to remold them into something that'll fit. Perfect example, how many reworks did Mordekaiser get that were just absolutely terrible? Just dog shit reworks, breaking the game each time. And sometimes they intentionally broke the game. Like when they did that bot lane rework, they had to make Mordekaiser OP because they had to bring new people into the bot lane. And they catered it towards him. He was unstoppable. So when you have champs like Tryndamere, or here, Volibear just got the rework. Still feels like Volibear. I think that's perfect. And that champ's been in the game for a long time. So I think, I don't know what he's going to feel like because he's not released yet. But from what I've seen, it appears that they did a good job. They brought him back. It doesn't look like anything crazy. It looks like the same champion, but they gave him enough so that he could survive in current times. And I think that's a really, really hard task to pull off, and I'm hoping they did it well. Because every time, time Riot brings in a new champ, it's going to be broken, right? Because they made it for the current game, but they also made it so that way it's going to last a while. Like when Zoe came out, broke the fucking game. Terrible champion, but fits the mold for what you're looking at in a current MOBA. And there's like almost 200 champions at this point.
There's
always going to be new cancer coming out, and you have to figure out how to cater to the gamers that have been playing your game since it came out. There's champions that these people love, and they want to still love the champion. So I think it's a delicate process when it comes to reworking them. Like Graves, for example, I think. Now you gotta think there's not a whole lot of Graves mains at that time, maybe, or like a very small percentage out of the player base. But they gutted that champion for people who knew Graves back in the day. He's nothing like how he normally played. You can't bring him in the bot lane. So I just hope that with this Udyr rework, they keep him in the same realm that he was before. I want him to be a jungler.
Yeah.
But I also want you to be able to be Trick 2G and play him in the top lane and enjoy your time. But all in all, it looks good. I know I ranted for a second there, but
I
think it's all good and well from what I've seen on the videos, and I hope it breaks the game when it comes out. That's what it's supposed to do. And then they'll fix it, and everything will be fine.
Absolutely. The usual process, right? Come out hot, get a couple nerfs, now we're even. Kenny, what do you think about the John Deere getting his long, long overdue rework?
I think it's great, like, just to Bilky's point about making the champions look like they belong in the game. Like, he looks like, sometimes you can really tell, like, looking at two different champions, like, okay, you were definitely an OG champ versus, like, a champ that recently came out. Like, to this day, when I see an Ashe versus, like, a Samira, I'm like, this feels like I'm playing two totally different games here.
Yep.
But it's nice to see Udyr get this rework. I haven't played him much, or if any at all, but it looks dope. I feel like people are gonna have fun with it, and I'm excited to see how he plays in the Rift.
Yeah, same. I can't wait to see if I can smack some people top lane and like Qmax and have a good time and go from there. But I'm excited for this rework. I think I think this is one of their better ones. Again, it still looks and it appears to feel like Udyr. I know I watched Trick2G's first gameplay video, and the stances, they've kind of implemented some stuff from Lee Sin, where like if you switch stances, you get two auto attacks that are like faster, so you're more antagonized to be switching stances, which is making you dive into what the character's about. So I think that's a cool element that they put in there, and all that good stuff. But yeah, so we're really excited. Can't wait to play him. Hopefully he'll be super broken, like Vilky said, and then we'll get some free LP. What do you think, boys?
I want to see those weird builds where it's like full AP Udyr and he gets like a 2000 health shield but does zero damage. You know, like I'm excited. Yes. I want creativity to come back to League of Legends. And I think it's been missing that for a long time.
Yeah. Please.
I don't see as much like theory Absolutely. Crafting on, oh, what if I did these runes? Or what if I built this champ this way and played him in this role? I don't see that as much. It just seems very, I don't want to say vanilla, but yeah, it seems like very stagnant. Yeah. Like if you don't do this, you're
That's
stuck.
That's why I hate
exactly.
following guys.
I want, where's the free expression in League of Legends? That's what I'm looking for. And hopefully.
Right.
Yeah. I think it's in the item building, because look, me and Brandon really had a conversation about this the other day. I was playing like a Lucian game.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm just going to start Shield Bow. And he was like, most people go Gale Force or Kraken Slayer. I was like, that's cool. I'm going to just see exactly. what this Shield Bow is hitting for. He was like, well, you're going to get stomped. I'm like, well, that's cool. I just want to see what this Shield
exactly,
Bow is
that's
hitting
fine.
For. And I think that's the fun of League of Legends, building whatever you want, not following guides all the time. And because at the end of the day, if I follow a guide or not, I'm going to fucking lose. I'm in ELO hell. I'll do whatever the fuck I want.
And that's the exact mindset that pulls you out of ELO hell. You say, I don't give a shit what my teammates are saying about this Shield Bow. Watch me work with this Shield Bow, damn it.
I know how to play Lucian with a Shield Bow, bitch.
Exactly, brothers. Exactly. Well, moving right on down the list, we're going to review the game V Rising. That was the open world survival vampire game that kind of took the world by storm a couple months ago. We dove into it and lost so many hours, boys. If you want to go around and give your quick little reviews of the game, and we'll give it a play it or don't play it as we do here. Kenny, I'll start with you since you kind of were tagging the group to kind of get in on this stuff. So what did you think of V Rising?
I thought it was a great game. It was a little annoying. Like the setup was a little annoying.
Right.
And having it be weird, like the host has to be in the game for everyone to play.
Yeah.
So I thought that was just a little annoying. So like, besides that, the game was great. Like we completely no-lifed it. It just got to a point where it was like, all right, this is consuming way too much of my time. So overall, great game. You know, you're a vampire and you go killing witches and demons and
all kinds of random things.
All kinds of shit. It's just fun. Like, there's a lot of shit to it. There's a lot of customizable shit, like your moves and your powers. And I think it's a really cool game. Something cool to get yourself lost into. We didn't even get to PvP, but even the PvE was alone enough a challenge. So yeah.
Some of those
go
bosses,
ahead and
bro.
Give it a shot. Ooh. Yeah, give it a fucking shot.
All right. Well, we have a strong play it from Mr. I Love KTP. Bilky, what did you think of V Rising?
I really enjoyed it. It gave me kind of RuneScape vibes mixed with, you know, maybe a little bit of World of Warcraft as far as the creatures go. I've always been a big fan of vampires in general from a character or like a type of, I don't even know what to call it. I just enjoy vampires, whether they're in a movie or it's a game or a book, whatever. I just think they're cool. So from the jump, I was like, oh, okay, Kenny is talking about this game. You're a vampire. You get to customize your own castle and then run around and like suck blood out of people. It's a cool idea, right? And then we started playing it and I fell in love with the game almost instantly. Like you guys are saying, we put a lot of time into this. And it doesn't always feel like a I can't even say that right now. I'm not going to try again. It doesn't feel like one of those games. There is a grind aspect, but I think you'll find that with any game, honestly. You're going to have to get your resources. You're going to have to do this and that to get where you want to be. And like Kenny was saying, we didn't even make it to PvP. Like, there was so much to do in the PvE. Yeah. And like, we started building castles and certain coordinates. That way we could interact with each other's stuff. And whenever you're in your little vampire posse, you can borrow resources from someone else if your castle's too far away. And like the family or the horde aspect of it was very cool. I liked that idea.
Yes.
And it's really up to you if you want to make it a fun game. My vote on it is a hard play it, but if you're just going to half-ass it or not dive into what you're doing, I don't think you're going to have a good time. But we were role-playing as vampires the whole time, and like it sounds funny to say it out loud.
It's great.
Like, oh, shit, I'm almost 30 years old, but I'm going to go be Alucard for, 6 hours. Like, if you can drop your ego a little bit and then just go submerge yourself into the universe, I think you'll have a ton of fun playing it. It's a hard play it for me.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I thoroughly enjoyed the combat of the game. That was my biggest takeaway, was how smooth everything felt, the way you could combo things, and it didn't feel too clunky with like waiting on cooldowns for stuff when you're fighting big bosses and all that. And like Kenny said, there's a lot of creativity. You can mix and match which abilities you want to use, and then crafting weapons and building castles and taking over territory like we were doing for several hours, kind of expanding our kingdoms.
It was funny
if you
to
will
do it together. We're going to get this boss,
Yeah.
I think the most intriguing part of the game to me was that it really, really, really relied on time and resource management. Meaning like, sure, I needed resources to do this, but there's also something else I need to get and some other resources I need. And the only way to really level up and get stronger is to go fight some other people, but I needed stronger weapons and get more resources. So it's like you're constantly doing something. You're never just playing the game. You're doing something. Like,
yes.
You're doing something that leads to something. It's not just you running around
if
killing
configuring
stuff.
Logistics.
Like if you're on your way to a boss.
If you like logistics, this is your game.
Oh my god. Because if you're on your way to a boss or something, and you're like, oh my god, this would be a great place to set up a castle. So then you just start chopping down trees, and then you're looking at your sundial, and you're like, oh shit, I've only got like 3 hours left, or like, 20 minutes, I guess, to get this area plowed down before I can go back to my castle and then try to establish some bases for a foundation, like that kind of stuff. So yeah, I think it's a unanimous. Definitely give it a good old play from the boys over at A Little Bit of Nerd. V Rising, it's available on PC, Steam, download stuff. It's good. It's fun. Do it. Get some friends and make a good time. But moving on down the list, you two have played this game. I have not, but it is the Multiverses, the new kind of fighter game that encompasses all of the WB characters in their IPs and whatnot. Boys, Bilky, I'll start with you. What did you think of Multiverses when you got to get your hands on it and play
so
it?
So much fun. Drop anything you... So for like all the Smash players or Brawlhalla or whatever kind of similar game you play,
Capcom, Street Fighter,
drop everything you know about it and then just take the game for what it is. There's going to be characters that are broken. There's going to be mechanics that are going to piss you off if you take it too seriously. But if you just go in and have a fun time fighting with Bugs Bunny and Arya Stark, then you're going to enjoy the hell out of this game. It plays like Smash Bros, but you got to think Smash Bros is not a fighting game. When I look at these kinds of games, I think of them as like a party game. Like, we're just going to have fun. There's no... And even when you get higher up into competitive stuff, Smash Bros. Is not like other real fighting games like Street Fighter or Tekken. It's just not the same.
Yeah.
So with that, I think this is perfect. They're only going to add more characters. They'll clean it up as it goes along. But from just a pure, am I enjoying this point of view? 100%. I love every second I spend on that game. Hard play it.
Play it. You have heard it here.
And it's free,
first,
dude.
Lads and ladies.
It's free.
It's free.
Yeah, and it's
free.
$3.99.
Go play it.
$3.99. You'd love to hear it. Kenny, what did you think of Multiverses?
I think it's great. Like Bill said, it's... You think of it like Smash Bros., but it's more of a party game. But it's also not even Smash Bros., because there's, like, more reliance on, like, a buddy system.
Yeah.
Like, when you're choosing, there's more emphasis on 2v2 rather than the 1v1s. So like with the 2v2, you have to truly think about your characters that you guys are picking. Like, do you guys have good combos? Can you, does one have sustain? Can one make sure you don't fly off the map? You know, there's so much to think about. And as opposed to like in Smash, there's a lot to think about there too, but it's so like individualized that it's pretty easy to play Smash. You know what I mean? With multiverses, you have to think more about your partner because they're just as useful as you are. In Smash, you can carry a 2v2 easy. But in multiverses, it doesn't seem to be that easy. Like, it truly takes a team effort. Like, and the damage, it takes a long time to gain damage. Like, the time to kill is like almost double, if not triple, the amount for Smash Bros. Like, I can knock out somebody from zero HP and Smash in like 30 seconds, but in multiverses, that's going to take like a minute, minute and a half of you just nonstop.
It's a good point
down
you brought
abilities.
Up about
so,
the team
I think
aspect.
It's
a four ring out system. Your teammate could go die four times in the first 45 seconds and then it's over. That's it.
Yeah. It's not like you two share lives or have a pool of lives to go from. No, it's like you straight up, if either of you dies a total of four times, that's it.
Yeah, absolutely. And then, Kenny, you got one more item here on the Gotham Knights murals in Canada. What is that all about? What does that mean,
man,
brother?
So, I mean, okay, go ahead. If you guys have a browser tab open, look up Gotham Knights murals in Montreal. So, for the promotion of the video game Gotham Knights, it's obviously, being made by the WB Studios in Montreal. So, they decided as a promo to put up these murals all around this I guess the Providence, and these are amazing. I would pay. Wow. I would probably catch a flight to Montreal just to take a picture of all
these.
To be honest,
man.
Oh my god! Yeah, bro.
Yeah. So
sick.
Once I saw that, I was like, oh yeah, a Canada trip is in my future here soon.
Damn, bro. These
yeah,
are.
I thought
these
that
are
was
nice.
I thought that was some pretty sick promo. I don't know who the artists were. I wish they would have, you know, disclose that information, because I would love to see their other work. But these are just badass. Like, did you see the Batgirl one too? Her solo mural?
Yeah, that one was sick
too.
That one is awesome.
And I hope they keep these up.
Fantastic scenes here.
That's what I'm saying. I hope they don't take them down. But I mean, the game's not going to come out for a really long time. So hopefully we can, I'm going to see if I can plan a trip in there before the game drops.
It's
absolutely.
Like mission accomplished, right? Like, I saw the murals and now I want the game. I'm super interested. Well done, Mark.
Yes,
team.
It worked. They've got you. They've reamed you in, mate. Oh my god. Well, lads, we have done it. We've recorded another podcast here for a little bit of nerd. Done it for like, you know, not that much money, maybe $0, who knows, but there we are. We use a service called podcast.com to keep and host all of our podcasts because it's free. $0. We have unlimited space, unlimited storage. It's great. Great place to host your podcasts and whatnot. If you want to catch us on the internet, where can people find you,
Real
Mr. Bilkey?
I already have the browser open and I pulled up Twitter. It says Hawkins Will Fall,
oh my,
Season 5, 2024.
Red Hot. Scorching take. We have a release date.
Played,
oh my god.
You ever played the Godzilla fighting game? Way back in the day.
Back in the day.
Remember the giant three-headed dragon that was in that new movie too? That's in this poster trailer. There is a giant three-headed dragon with lightning coming out.
Great
like,
heavens.
And it just says, Hawkins Will Fall, Stranger Things 5, 2024. I know we're at the end of the show, but I just saw it. It was posted 3 hours ago.
It's
Stranger
Red Hot News.
5 is on
it's
the
fine.
Way, dude.
Wow.
Wow.
Oh,
2024.
I thought
that
was it. I thought this was the finale.
Nah.
I don't know, dude.
This one's
I didn't know it was coming. But that soon, though? 2024 is kind of soon. Because think about it. We didn't. Season 3 of Stranger Things was what? 2018, 19? We waited almost 2.5 years for 4. I thought that would have been it.
On the way, dude.
Nah. Oh, I'm seeing it right now, dude. Yeah, there's Mon Mothra.
Dude,
Oh my good God. Yeah, almighty.
Oh, I have one more bit of news. I forgot. Tuesday, if you do not have Fortnite downloaded, I highly suggest you download Fortnite. They are finally, for the first time, dropping Dragon Ball Z skins, and I am dropping so much money. I am dropping copious amounts of cash to buy every skin. I don't
care.
So who was it? I think it was Terrell who brought it up, bro. If they have a Nimbus glider in Fortnite, bro.
Oh, my God. Stop it.
I wish you guys could see Kenny's face right now.
I just see Kenny right now.
Bruh. I need that shit. Oh my God. I need that shit.
I need it right now.
Damn, that was some hot news at the end of the cast.
Oh,
yeah, I
had to throw that out there. Hot news. Dropping it in. Sprinkle it, if you will. Oh my man. God. Well, yeah. Jesus. We did the, what were we on social medias? I did the tag already.
You can Bilkerton. I am at Bilkerton on all the socials. Come interact. I'm here for it.
Delicious.
Sir Keep the Peace on Instagram and Twitter. If you want to follow our gaming page on Twitter or Instagram, it is Label Gaming GC.
Mm, yes. Delicious. Yes.
Lots of
wonderful
hot highlights and news stories.
Excellent. You can follow me at Jalen Holston, or you can just tweet the podcast in general at LBON Podcast. We will always be around. Hopefully, you all have a great rest of your day, and we'll see you in the next episode. See you next.